Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Have a great day, bro.
Well, praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Doing fantastic in the Lord.
Now, you may be hearing a couple bumps. That is Joe hitting his pen on his mic. But nonetheless, we are trying to not have too many bumps in this episode because we were talking about a subject, and Joe thought we could squeeze everything into one episode, and we just couldn't do that, which is the same thing that somewhat happened last week when we were recording on Bethel.
Because it was giving me anxiety thinking we could put it in one episode.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the things is we actually were trying to sit down to just do 2 hours on Bethel, 4 half-hour shows, and discuss it and then have this as a podcast as well. But then once we started, we just couldn't roll that back in. And so we ended up doing a 4-part series, almost 4 hours after you're all done with all the video. So we're blessed to be able to get that out to you. If you're listening to this, this is Tuesday. We just aired one on Friday covering Bill Johnson specifically, and we will be airing more this upcoming Friday on Bethel and
One every
Friends.
Friday for the next 3 weeks, yeah?
Yep, for another 3 weeks. So we are so excited to get that out to you guys. So please, one of the big things, not only that you guys have been doing such a great job, and Joe mentioned it, being in the top 35 again when it came to chartable of faith and spirituality in the country, and then being in the top 50 when it came to globally in faith and spirituality on Chartable's website. So we are really, really excited about that. And we were sad to miss last week, but excited that maybe this will say, hey, we need to be sharing these more. So share this, share the
stream. And of course, we missed last week because we did 4 videos instead.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. We are so excited to have you guys back with us, especially talking about this subject, because this is a subject, as we said, we tried, and we're not exaggerating. In the middle of the episode, Joe's like, we're going to have to do another show on this. And that's a fact.
Because writing was on the wall.
It's important to say, hey, we don't want someone to feel ostracized and say, hey, what you're dealing with there, that's not the part that I'm dealing with. And specifically what Joe dealt with in the last episode is, hey, there's some sin issue here, specifically on Cain's part and why his countenance, why he was depressed, why it had fallen. And Joe showed some practical application of people that had come for counseling to realize that they're embedded in sin. And we could talk about pornography and that people are embedded in that sin and wondering why they're so depressed, or they're looking to the future and they're anxious about what the future holds, not realizing who holds the future and the fact that God is the one that holds even our breath in his hand, let alone the future that he full well knows. So those are just some aspects. So we also wanted to dig in and give an entire episode specifically to the more mysterious factors. And I think one of those ones that we'll caveat to begin with before we dig into a great example in scripture that gives us probably, I think, the greatest book in the history of all time written on this subject specifically in the Old Testament. We're going to go through that a little bit. But also, I want to talk about those who say, hey, this is simply a medical issue. There's just brain waves not clicking. You take some Zambian, you take a little pill, and next thing you know, everything's going to be fine. It's going to be better. And specifically dealing just with the medical issue of it. And they say, in fact, I was telling Joe right before this, a long time ago, when I was trying to counsel a friend, someone else came in with counsel and pretty much pushed aside any idea of, oh, it's a spiritual matter, and just said, oh, it's all medical. And we don't want to pendulum swing on either one of those sides. So let's talk a little bit about that and break that down a little bit for people that just say, hey, there's brain waves not working right. Just take a pill. Everything will be all right.
Yeah, we have to be really, really careful because there's a lot of mystery to the brain. They barely understand the brain, folks. They really, I mean, they're still trying to understand the body, but the brain is just They understand certain ways it works, but there's so much mystery to the brain. And then the mind is separate than the brain. Your mind is that which is immaterial and controls your brain. And they know nothing of the mind, you know, and they know nothing of the soul. You know, the soul is in material part of you. Sometimes it's, you know, also called spirit or your spirit. So the domain of our spiritual lives is not able to be handled by, you know, psychotherapy, which psychologists admit they have a very inexact science. A lot of it's based on presuppositions. There's hundreds of different philosophies, hundreds of different therapies that contradict one another. Everything from them sticking you in a giant crib when you're an adult, putting a bottle in your mouth and telling you to suck, or making a replica of your spouse and telling you to get the anger out by beating up your spouse with a club, all kinds of strange things. Thank God we have the scripture. And thank the Lord he's given us, it says in 2 Peter 1:4, he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Amen. And thank God we have the scripture, because we read in the scripture, I believe it's 2 Timothy 3:15-16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness. And it goes on to say that the man of God may be perfect, King James, complete. I think that's New King James, adequate, NASB, and equipped for every good work. God's given us, in the Greek words, telios, has translated complete, perfect, adequate. We've got the Word of God, folks. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit living in us as believers, who is our counselor, the paraclete, the great counselor. I mean, who can surpass what God can do through his written word, through the miracle of his word, through the spirit of truth and so forth. So we need to simply seek the Lord, cry out to him. Now, having said that, we do not eschew. We're not like Word Faith prosperity teachers who believe that, you know, Christians should never use medicine, that Christians should always be healed. We live in a fallen world, and our bodies and sometimes our brains are affected by the fall. And a lot of times there's mystery. They don't know exactly what's going on. You can have a chemical imbalance. Now, it could be because you got hit in the head by a bat when you were a kid, or it could be because of something that you don't understand. Or, by the way, there's different things that you see in people. If people give themselves to homosexuality, strange things happen in the brain. They've proven that. Okay, if you're given over to certain things, certain sins, they can cause problems in your brain. Certain drugs. With the, you know, we can start mentioning the you know, the different types of drugs, ecstasy and so forth, that change the brain. So sinful behavior, hatred, anger can affect your brain and your body as well. So sometimes these drugs are prescribed to basically try to take care of the symptoms and maybe try to bring some kind of balance to what sometimes, and not saying always, like I said, you get hit in the head with a bat or something. It could be something physiological, because we simply live in a fallen creation. So I'm saying, if you have a genuine, some kind of genuine imbalance in your brain, we're not saying exactly why. It could be mysterious. It could be as a result of sin. It could be a result of the fall and indirectly related to you. Having said all that, we aren't saying that these drugs that are being prescribed and handed out like candy are all correct and right. That's why many of these drugs come with warnings that they can cause you to commit suicide, or they can put you in a frame of mind where you're hearing voices and so forth. That's not to say that some people have not taken some of these drugs with some success either. That would be a lie as well. But to me, there could be at best usually a Band-Aid that helps you deal with the symptom. But when you put a Band-Aid on a cancer, it may help with the leaking of some kind of fluid from your body, but it's not going to cure the cancer. The spiritual aspect that needs to be dealt with, if there's a spiritual problem behind what you're going through, needs to be handled spiritually.
Yeah, and I think if we could probably dig in for multiple episodes of what Revelation 18 says about the drug merchants deceiving the whole world with their pharmacon, their pharmakeia, their, you know, their drugs.
Absolutely.
But that's for a whole nother episode. And one of the things I think about a lot is not only Proverbs, but also in 1 Timothy 5, where you have in Proverbs, hey, you know, give alcohol to those who are perishing, you know, and then you have in 1 Timothy 5:23, where it says, Ogligos kromahi oinos, and that's what Paul says to Timothy, that he was just drinking water and getting sick, apparently, and he's sitting and say, well, just have faith. If you didn't have faith, it won't be a problem. No, he said, no, graze lightly with a puny amount of wine, because you're getting sick from what's in that water.
Not to get inebriated or drunk, but a puny amount to kill the bacteria in your water.
Yeah, I made sure I caveated that before I said anything.
Amen.
But nonetheless, it's one of those things I remember as a newer believer.
And you give alcohol to those who are perishing, not to those who are partying.
Yeah, that's there. Right. Yeah. Those are prayers. Yeah, it says it in the same breath almost. It says it's not for kings to drink. But nonetheless, you know, it, when I think about this, I remember comedians would you know, I used to watch or listen to stand-up comedians before I was saved. And a lot of it now as a believer, I could never listen to those people because I'd be sitting at the seat of scoffers. And I remember distinctly one woman that was from SNL did this whole show, and pretty much the whole show was evangelism for atheism. And I remember her talking about how, well, the eye's not designed that real that well, you know, not well, and this part and this part.
Ridiculous.
And she would talk about how, well, I have these things that happen in my brain, and that's why I like coming on stage. And it just it was so senseless to me as I'm sitting there listening to this, that she was applying misunderstanding agency and causation.
Yeah.
And it'd be like sitting there looking at a Ford motor car. You know, I think John Lennox uses this one. And reading the manual of how it works and saying, well, there must be no Henry Ford. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, you have the agency. We know what's happening, but what is the causation of that happening? And I think this can happen with depression and anxiety when it comes to even the brainwaves, yeah. Even the things that we know about, that yes, these things are taking place in your body. That's agency. That's not causation. We don't actually know why they're happening. And so a lot of times if we deal, as we did in the last episode, with sin, that will help us to understand. But also just from a standpoint of mystery, as I mentioned about a friend that had this struggle, one of the things that you see in Scripture very clearly with Paul is that he had something, a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan that was sent to him. And ultimately, even though he prayed to God to take that away from him, ultimately he found out that his strength, that it was all perfected in his weakness.
Yeah, amen.
And that was when he turned to Christ and understood that Christ was ultimately his strength. So that's really, really important for us to first get a good grasp on before we even understand whether or not the medication and all of that. Ultimately, you could take a pill, but if you're not right with God, you're not right with God. And ultimately, you could go and maybe that's not working and have some sort of help. We want to have a good balance that's scriptural and also that we're looking at and saying, okay, there's ways that can be you know, identified here that aren't simply just we're going to throw out every single bit and act like word of faith teachers, because that's not right either.
Yeah, and they've found many surprises and work with the brain. I was going to get this deep, but
sorry. Yeah.
No. I'm glad you went down this trail a little bit, because Sir John Eccles, he was a Nobel Prize, you know, winning neurologist, or, you know, dealing with the neurosystem. And he found that, hey, the brain, you know, you cut off in laboratory, you know, experiments, they'd cut off the brain, they'd have somebody hold out their arm. Okay, lift your arm. They'd lift their arm, and then they cut off the part of the brain that controls the arm and the nervous system to the arm, and boom, they couldn't lift their arm and just be flopping, right? Well, guess what? They found at a certain point, certain people were able to bypass that part of the brain and still lift their arm when they cut that off. And that was his evidence that there's a mind at work as well, you know, whatever that entails. My point is that they're still freaking out as to it. The brain is so far beyond them. The mind, the consciousness, they have no clue on how to explain consciousness. But when we look at these different things, we see there's a lot of different mysteries. We do have to grapple with the fact that Paul, as you said, Chad, you know, he was like three times, Lord, take this from me. And the answer wasn't taking away his particular pain. The Lord was using his life so he wouldn't be lifted up in pride and fall away, you know? So God uses pain sometimes. And David, I mean, he would have been, if you go through the Psalms, yeah. David would have been diagnosed as bipolar or something at times, because he's all over the place. And I'm not saying that as a joke. I'm saying, hey, you know what? A psychologist would look at David and say, oh, this guy's got some kind of mental problems. No, this guy was dealing with reality. He's dealing with being hunted by real people. There's a spiritual realm that's out there as well. And he's seeking God and he knows God and so forth. But he'd be considered delusional in some way. And then you start looking at his writings, his prophecies and everything that's come to pass, you know, and him being in the line of Jesus and so forth. And then you start going to the Psalms, you start slowing down, you read them. They're like so profound. He's a deep man of God and deep calling deep and so forth. And this is something that humanistic psychology misses. And those who integrate the secular psychology with Christianity end up usually trumping any kind of Christian teaching when it comes to sanctification in lieu of other things. So I think it's important to look at Job for a few minutes here, because Job is one of those mysterious guys, one of those mysterious trials. And Job was clueless at the beginning of his trial what was going on, in the middle of his trial what was going on, And even at the end of his trial, it wasn't explained specifically as to why, or I should say, what he was going through. We have the vantage point of looking back and saying, wow, principalities and powers were at work. Wow, Satan was, you know, trying to get him to fall and get curse God. That God himself is the one who brought him up to Satan and said, have you considered my servant Job? And there's a lot going on here that he's missing, and his three counselors, till the other brother gets added on, are missing as well. But listen to this. In James chapter 5, Job is given as an example as to one, even though he didn't understand his trial, and it was mysterious. My point here, brothers and sisters, is this. Last episode, we looked at how sin was at work in the heart of Cain, and he wouldn't let it go. And that was the source of his depression. This time, we're taking a gander, a look at Job, and how, guess what? Sin was not at the heart of his problem. In fact, he was the most blameless man on earth. Yet his problem was far more severe, his struggle, his trial, than Cain's. Cain was just upset because his brother sacrificed. Job lost his kids. He lost his wife, not her life, but her heart, you know. He lost his friends, lost his health, lost his wealth, everything. Boils head to toe. Yet in the New Testament, we're told this, brothers, as an example of patience in affliction, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. See how blessed we consider those who have persevered. This is the key. You have to persevere in your faith, guys. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen the outcome from the Lord. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Don't fail to look at the big picture, that in the end, you experience the Lord's compassion and mercy, because he works all things together for the good for those who live under the call according to his purpose. That's the last chapter of James. Listen to the first couple verses, verse 2 of James 1. Consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Remember, he wanted perseverance like with Job, and let endurance have its perfect result. He's looking at the end game again right there, just like Job in chapter 5. This is not an accident that these passages are at the beginning and the end of Job. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now listen to James 1:12. How blessed is the man who endures temptation when he has passed the test. And you are being tested, brothers and sisters. This is a test. When he has passed the test, he will receive the victor's crown of life. And this is the International Standard Version. It translates it victor's crown of life because it's not diadema. It's stephanos in the Greek. And that's the crown for the soldiers, the crowns for the athletes who had victory and persevered. They will receive the victor's crown of life that God has promised to those who keep on loving him. You catch that? I love the way the International Standard Version translates that. They get the crown, who? Those who keep on loving him. That's passing the test. Not letting your heart get bitter. Not letting your love grow cold. That's why Job is given an example, because Job, Satan tried to turn Job into hating God through his trials. And this is, to me, this is so powerful. You recognize, hey, you don't always know what's going on. Job didn't know what's going on. You don't always understand the source of your trials. But guess what? There's a spiritual war in the background. And you have to persevere in your faith. And the end result is glorious. And the Lord, you'll find, is loving and he's compassionate. But guess what? In the midst of Job, in the book of Job, you see over and over again, and he struggles. He's in tears. He wants to die at certain points. He's incredibly depressed. He says he prefers, you know, to be strangled than to live. Some really, really heavy things when you think about it. But listen to Job 1:21. He says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. This is after so much was taken from him. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he recognized, hey, I need to look at the Lord and the big picture, that he's ultimately in control, and that I'm going to bless his name and not curse it, which is what Satan wanted. Job 13:15, though he slay me, I will hope in him. What's he saying? Even though the Lord slays me, even though I don't understand what's going on with me and God right now, even though I feel far from him and I feel that I've become his target, I will still hope in him. I'm still going to trust in him. Job 16:19, even now my witness is in heaven and my advocate is on high. What a heavy deal there, man. This is perhaps the first book written in the Bible. I know we start with Genesis, but many scholars believe Job was actually written before Genesis was written by Moses. And look, before even Genesis is written, perhaps, Job 16:19, even now my witness is in heaven. Who is that? And my advocate is on high. He says later he wishes there was a mediator between him and God, that he could put his hand on both of them. Put his hand on the Father, put his hand on him. And guess what? Who is that mediator? There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Job 19:25, but I know my Redeemer lives. Who's that, folks? This is amazing. But I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last, He will stand upon the earth. Even after my skin has been destroyed, sees hope beyond the grave. Yet in my flesh, what's he talking about? Yet in my flesh, I will see God. He's talking about after his skin is destroyed, he'll be resurrected and I'll see the Lord. And he has an advocate that stands on high as a redeemer. Job 23:10, one of my favorite verses in Job. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Brothers and sisters, most times when you Christians talk, and they don't talk about how we're being tested. They don't talk about this is a test. This is a test we are in, and it's a lifelong test. And Job said, I know when he's done testing me, I will come forth as gold. This is biblical teaching. We're being tested as to whether we're going to love the Lord and keep on loving him, as it says in James 1:12 in the Greek, or not. And if we keep on loving him, we will come forth as gold. Amen? So it's a great lesson we learn from the book of Job. And his trial was a mystery. His three friends were saying, this is what's going on. That's what's going on. This is what's going on. You know? And they were all so far apart. Job, it's because you've sinned. Job, it's because of this. It's because of that. You know what? This is one thing I want to tell you guys. You can't always put your finger on the reason as to why you're feeling depressed. But guess what? You can always put your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? You can't always put your finger as to the source of your depression, but you can always put your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, your maker and your redeemer. Jesus himself is the answer. Jesus says to you, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't say, oh, I've tried that. Oh, you know what? Well, he works for everybody else, but not for me. No, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 37, whoever comes to me, 637, I'm sorry. Whoever comes to me, I will not cast away. Okay, he promises you, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Are you weary and burdened? You're part of the all he's addressing there. I will give you rest. He will give you rest. Okay, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God encourages us to, quote, call upon him in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. Why? Because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do not look to humanistic psychology. Don't look to psychoheresy. Look to Jesus. Don't look to philosophy. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. You know what the next verses say? For in him, that's in Jesus, all the fullness of the deity, the divinity of the Father and the Spirit, and Christ himself is divine, dwells in bodily form. And in him, you have been made complete. Did you catch that? In him, you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. So brothers and sisters, the answer to your problems and everyone's problems is in the cross, is in Jesus, is in union with him, in fellowship within him. He is our strength. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So we need Jesus. We need to trust in him who sets us free. Romans 4:8 says, how joyful is the man who the Lord will never charge with sin. I love the Young's literal translation there. It says, happy is the man whom the Lord may not reckon sin. But you know what's important, brothers and sisters? We need to focus on Jesus. We need to recognize we've been redeemed. We need to say, wow, I can't believe it, man. He saved a wretch like me. And I'll tell you what, you know what the outworking of sanctification, a lot of it is? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's by the word of God, right? Lord disciplines those and loves those he loves. He disciplines and chastens, amen. He rebukes us as well. It's through the word of God. You're sanctified through the word. There's all these different means that God uses to perfect us and to make us more like Jesus, amen. But guess what? Thanksgiving is a huge part of it. If you're focused on something you don't have, and this is very, very important, because there's millions of professing Christians who have moritis, okay? that just came to me, so I don't know if that's ever been coined before, but it's probably been said 1,000 times. Moritis. They want more and more. Like the leech in Proverbs that says, you know, it's never enough. More and more, right? And they have moritis. They just want more and more. And it's like the prosperity gospel. They're looking at what everybody else has. They're looking at Jesus as a genie in the bottle, like we were just talking about with Bethel, you know? And they're just constantly wanting more and more and more. And they're looking at what other people have, and they're depressed because they're coveting. You know, that's not a mysterious trial. That's putting your finger on something. Sometimes that's what's going on, is we need to learn to be content with food and covering. When Paul said, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me, He's not talking about, wow, I'm going to go to the gym and only, even though I weigh 95 pounds when I'm wet, I'm going to go bench 650 pounds and impress everybody. No, that's not what he's talking about. The context there is Paul talks about how he learned to be content, whether he was abounding or abased, whether he was doing well or he had little. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The all things there has to do with God in your life, meeting your needs according to his riches and glory and empowering you to get through your trials. So he has promised to help you be victorious through your trials. But you know what you need to do? You need to be thankful for what he has given. Be thankful that the God of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, came down and died a brutal death in your place and rose again and knows your name and will confess you before the Father and before the angels if you confess him. Happy day, amen. I mean, you should be rejoicing. We should be rejoicing. So I think in my own life, you know, when things don't go well, it's important for me to focus on Jesus and say, you know, he's the key. He's the answer. He's the one. And be thankful and seek the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. You've been redeemed from Satan if you're trusting Jesus. You've been redeemed from your sin. You've been redeemed from the wrath of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I honestly believe that we need to sing songs of deliverance, songs of thanksgiving, songs of rejoicing, songs of sanctification. What's that? Songs of like creating me a clean heart or change my heart, oh God, or Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. I drive down the road singing those songs. You know what I do? I rejoice in the Lord. We, Tony, Chad, and I, we sing praise to the Lord because that's part of the Christian walk. And I'm telling you this right now because if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to need to praise God. You need to get a focus off yourself, whether you're in a trial that is because of sin and you need to repent, get clean, get right, and then seek him and be thankful for the forgiveness. Or if you're in a mysterious trial, you need to praise him anyway. Remember what Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He praised him anyway. The answer is always the same. The answer is asking for God's mercy and love and praising him and worshiping him. You know what it says in James 5:13? Right after it talks about Job and his example, it says, if anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Catch that, guys. Where are you at right now? You happy? You doing well? Praise him. You're suffering, you're struggling, pray and seek the Lord. We all go through those times. We all go through those bouts. You know, the other day I was driving. It wasn't a good day. It was my 33rd anniversary. My wife and I, we're going to have had a great day planned. I'm a busy, busy guy. I'm like, I'm going to take her to the beach. You know, we're going to have a great day. We're going to have a just, you know, go to a nice restaurant. And she woke up. She was sick as a dog. That night she was sick. You know, that poor girl, you know, she was hurting, you know. And I was like, okay, this day is not going the way we thought it would be. And I wasn't poor me. I felt bad for her because she was feeling bad. I felt great. I go to the store to get a couple things. She's not feeling good. I get to the store and guess what? I drive and my day, by the way, I was going to try to redeem the time still. My day, all of a sudden, I found I get to the store, no wallet. I hate that. And I usually make sure I have three things, my wallet, my keys, and my cell phone. You know, I always have a Bible in my truck, almost always. So those three things I always try to bring with me, no wallet. I'm like, man, I just wasted time driving. Now I've got to drive back. And then I got to drive back to the store and back again. And I thought, oh, that's how to get to me. You know what? I'm going to take the time going back home and driving back here and driving back again, worshiping and praising God. And I just sang songs. And when I ran out of songs to sing, I just took melodies I was already singing and made words up to God. That's a great way to praise him, by the way, from the heart. Is just make a melody and just put your own words there and express your love to the Lord. Sometimes it'll bring you to tears. Sometimes you'll just have joy. I just want to encourage you guys, no matter what trial you are in, praise him or pray, depending where you're at. It says this in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And 1 Peter, similar to it, chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And he will, brother and sister, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-2222. 7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.